Well, good morning. Before I forget, I'm going to let you know that the preschoolers can be dismissed now, so they are welcome to leave as I intro what we're about to do. So as you know, a couple weeks ago, we had the privilege of going to New York, and here in a couple minutes, you're going to hear from all the students and hear their stories. But to start off, we're going to watch a slideshow, and just to kind of preface that a little bit, if you've never been to New York City, it's pretty much like Haviland. Except you can fit our whole town in one apartment building and then a lot more. So it's very different, as you can guess. One of the things with this video, it's obviously just going to give you highlights. I would encourage you, as you watch the video and as you hear from the students, be thinking of questions to ask them. One of the biggest things is we want to go on these trips, but we don't want to leave it there. You know, what are the things that we learned that we can incorporate here in Haviland, or ways that we can pray for the people that we met, or whatever that looks like. Future callings. I know people learn they love the city or they hate the city after experiences like this, or they like to visit but could never live there. But we met people and we heard stories. And so you're not going to be able to hear that part in this video, but you're going to see some of the places that we went. As I was looking through the slideshow, it was fun to just think about, oh, this was only 3 weeks ago. But what you're also not going to see is, like, you see them serving, you see us in groups and smiling and having fun, but one of my favorite things was to watch the students jump in. They jumped in. They didn't hesitate when someone said, okay, we need this done. And so I just want to put that in your mind as we watch this, that they did a fantastic job, and I'm excited for you guys to hear about it. So we're going to start with that, and then afterwards all the students can come up. All right, so if the team wants to go ahead and come up. Okay, so they've been warned ahead of time, so hopefully they have answers for you. But we're just going to kind of pass the mic for these first couple questions so we can have everybody share. And then we have some other ones that whoever wants to kind of give some information, we can. So we're just going to start with that. So we want to start off with a question. What was your biggest highlight from the trip?
Trump Tower.
Working at the after-school programs.
That was mine, too, because I have a passion with working with little kids, and it's just my favorite thing to do.
That was also mine, and it was just because we got to play Connect Four with all the kids, and they were really good.
Just seeing the difference between, like, cities and smaller towns like what we have.
The subway was pretty cool.
Oh, I had lots of highlights. Working at a Jewish soup kitchen, that was pretty cool.
Probably my biggest highlight was doing devotions at a soup kitchen.
I liked the after-school program, but I also liked watching Eli catch a pigeon.
My favorite highlight was actually when we were shoveling snow one day. It was just cool to see everyone come by and say thank you. And, like, I don't know, I guess I thought every New Yorker was mean, but they're really not.
Mine was the Jewish soup kitchen because it was just cool to see. They told us Bible stories, and it was cool to see it from a different perspective.
Mine was the after-school program. We performed a play for them, and all the little kids were just so sweet, and I loved them all.
Mine was also the after-school program because I want to be a teacher, and so it was fun getting to work with the kids on their work and just watch them learn and do their homework.
We went to a different soup kitchen than the Jewish one, but that was my favorite because you kind of got to see why everyone was there, and like they told us all of their stories, and I thought it was really interesting because some of them said that they were there because they had been in that place before, so they were just coming back as a reminder of where they were and how they didn't want to go back there. But then there were some that were there that actually had to be there, and so it was just cool to hear all their different stories.
Mine would have to be the Jewish soup kitchen. We got to see the Jewish community and how they live and what they believe in. I also got to be the hostess, so I greeted every person that came through the door, and that was fantastic just to see everybody's faces and...
Mine was also the Jewish soup kitchen. I got to spend like the entire day in the kitchen, and that was really cool.
Mine was the after-school program working with the kids.
Mine was just getting to interact with all the different people, like with the kids and the homeless at the soup kitchen, and yeah.
All right. Another question. What did God teach or show you on this trip?
He just showed me that anyone can be a helper of his, because I was going underserved, but the little kids there and the homeless, they had really great outlooks on their lives, even though they had different situations from me, and so they really taught me how to be positive about what's going on.
Mine was probably just not to take what we have for granted, because some people just don't have what we have, and so just, yeah, be thankful for what we have.
He showed me that we're all lost, just in different ways.
For me, I think on our prayer tour around New York, we had an assignment to do, and to go to two different people or one person and ask how has homelessness affected New York and what can they do about it. And I was in a group with three girls, and we asked a few different people, and everybody was just in a hurry, but there was this one lady that spent about 10 minutes talking to us and really getting to know us, and that was really amazing.
Something that I learned was life is so different from Haviland. Man, it was really eye-opening to see how many people are actually hurting and how many people there are that still need Jesus. And so I think that something that I learned was just to be grateful for what we have and what we are given, and to not take anything for granted.
I think the main thing I learned was that God's plans are always bigger than mine. A verse that really stood out to me while I was there is Proverbs 16:9. It says, "We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps." And especially after going to Chicago and kind of going in the trip with some expectations, because it was through the same missions group, and so I had some expectations of what the trip should look like, and it was completely different. So just being able to trust while I was there that what we were doing, and if a ministry site got canceled or something didn't work out, that just to trust that it was God's plan and that his plan is always bigger than mine, so I didn't have to worry about that.
On the prayer tour, it was really, really cold, and we walked around for 4 hours, and that was really hard because I couldn't feel my toes. But we talked to this police officer, and we were talking about homeless people, and he was giving us just the rundown of stuff, that it's always going to be there, and yeah, we can try and help it, but we just need to be there for them. We can't solve it, but that was nice. It didn't care about how cold I was. It's just people were willing to talk to us about how to help people.
So we went to New York to show people God and show people God's love, but the really cool thing was that it was already there, and it was really cool when we were able to experience that and see God's love there.
Something I learned, or something that God showed me, is that I'm actually able to stay outside for long periods of time because it was really cold. And to appreciate the people around me, especially the people that are really close to me. My group was Ryan, Kale, Lucy, Lachelle, and Gavin, I think? Yeah. Well, they were just kept me up and kept me to keep having a good attitude, and it was awesome.
Mine kind of goes along with that. It was cold outside. Our place was cold at night. I took a cold shower. So it just gave me a really good opportunity to practice patience and be thankful for what I have.
I guess what I learned is I'm not in control, so we didn't know where we were going or what we were doing half the time, so just to know that they all knew God was in control and we had no control over it.
Well, God showed me that germs aren't actually that big, and he also showed me that not all people are scary unless you bump into them on the subway and they yell at you. That is a little bit scary and kind of makes you a little nervous. But overall, I learned that people are good and germs aren't that bad.
Mine probably is the same as Morgan's, that practice patience and be thankful for what I have here. And be thankful that it's not that cold all the time, because it was cold.
I just kind of learned that the Lord is always there to protect us, even in big areas that we're not familiar with. just to help protect us.
I learned that the snow is a lot different than it is here. And when we were out shoveling it Tuesday morning, there's a guy who looked like he was on his way to work, and he just stopped and helped us for 30 minutes. And it helped me realize that we're not the only ones that are trying to help out.
Well, the first day, my group went to a soup kitchen, kind of not really, but it was called the Recovery House of Worship. And just people who, anybody could go there really and eat. And God just showed me, I guess, love in a different way, because the people that worked there showed love to everybody, no matter what their background was or no matter what they looked like. They just loved everybody.
I learned that sometimes it won't always go as you think, but God has a plan.
God showed me all the different cultures and how different the big city is from Haviland.
Awesome. So this one is not when I texted you guys, sorry. You just answered my next questions. So you just, all of you just said what you learned. How have you seen it, or how do you desire this to impact your life now while you're in Haviland and your ministry here? Sorry, Seth.
I don't really expect to see that many cultures in Haviland. As many, I guess, but I'd like to live in a big city one day and see something like that more often.
Well, when we went there, we shoveled like for an hour, maybe two. And so I guess not only just to do that there, but to do it here too.
I'm kind of just hoping that this will help us realize that we can feel safe in areas that we're not familiar with.
Can you repeat the question? Probably.
Okay. Well, I definitely feel more comfortable around strangers, and I definitely feel more comfortable around large groups of people, and I think I kind of needed that, because I kind of got used to the comfort bubble of Haviland, Kansas, where I'm like, hey, I know that person. Where in New York, I'm like, don't wave, don't wave, don't wave. And so it really helped me to kind of be more out there with people and kind of get a more loving outlook on how to interact with strangers.
So I got used to just like always knowing what I was doing. So it helped me realize like God is in control. So no matter what I do, it's like already in his hands.
So since we were exposed to different cultures and different types of people, we got to see different sides of some stories or like aspects in life. And so it's just helped me to stay open-minded.
One of the main things they told us in New York, like our group leaders, was just to have a good attitude, because they don't tell you what you're going to do that day. You just, it's like a surprise, which I'm not really good with because I like to know what I'm doing. But coming back, it's just nice to just have a good attitude and be around my friends and grow closer with them.
Well, I get really scared to talk to people that I don't know. And going to New York and like being in the soup kitchen and just all those people that came in there, I didn't know any of them, but like just a simple smile could really make their day better. And it just like helped me realize that it's not that hard to help someone out. Like if they're having a bad day or something, it's not that hard to smile at them, because that could make their day better. So
the people there, we had like a chapel thingy. They told us, was like, when we go to these places, we need to like help without hurting. And so they told us to like get to know the person before you start coming up ways to fix them. And so that just kind of showed me that you need to make friendships or relationships with people before you try and help them. And so they feel like your friend, not like a project that you need to work on.
So I don't know. To me, the verse I shared kind of applies to every aspect of life, and especially where I'm at now, just getting ready to go to college and be around new people and experience new things. Just always keeping that in mind and remembering that
whatever expectations I have, they may not always happen as I have planned, but I can trust that God's plans are bigger and that he's got everything planned out for me already.
I think something that I need to apply to my life here that I really noticed when we were there is not to judge without getting to know like their story and their background. I feel like when we were at the soup kitchen, the guy who ran it, he had been where all those people had been. But when everyone came in, like someone said earlier, he didn't care what they looked like, where they had been, what they brought in with them. If they had nothing when they came in, he just openly welcomed them and loved them and fed them and talked with them and actually had a conversation, and he got to know them before he judged them. And I think that that's really important for me to try and live out here too.
For me, going on this trip really helped me to think about that everybody here has a story. I don't have to go halfway around the country or whatever to go hear somebody's story. Every one of you has something that God has done in your lives.
Okay, so being in the city made me realize how much of a city girl I really am, and made me realize like that even though that I'm one person in a city, I have a huge impact, and so I really want to continue doing missions work in the city.
I think that I just need to keep in mind that every one of us is God's child, and that we can all be helpful towards him and his goal. And even if they're not going on a mission trip like we are, I mean, to just keep in mind that we're all one of his.
All right. Another question that's probably not on the ones that we've asked you before, but is there a specific person or a story that has impacted you, and how?
When we went to the Recovery House of Worship, we served them food, but also we were supposed to go out and sit down and talk with them while they ate. And Sierra and I, we sat down and talked with this woman named Marcella. And they were all a little bit tentative to speak with us, but once we finally got her talking, she just wouldn't stop. And it was really cool because she had this story where she really didn't elaborate, but she said, for 10 years I've been struggling with this thing. I don't know what it was, but she said, for 10 years I've been praying about it, and finally it's happened. And she was like, if someone really wants something, they'll pray for it long enough. And that just really impacted me because, you know, if I pray about something and it doesn't get answered soon, I just kind of give up on it. But I don't know, that was a really cool story.
Okay, so at the Jewish soup kitchen, there was a boy that came in, and I think he was just volunteering and helping work there. And he started to tell a story, and we all recognized the story, but we didn't know what it was. And eventually he said it was the story of Esther. And it was just really cool to see how different, but how much of the same that story was to their culture and how it was the same to ours.
Okay, so when I was in the Jewish soup kitchen, the main guy, I don't remember his name. Levi, there we go. Okay. his story was just like really cool. Like the soup kitchen just kind of like landed in his lap, and he took it on, and he just like had such a heart for people, and he was just really happy about serving, and you just don't really see that very often. So it was just really cool, like how excited he was to serve others.
I also got a privilege to talk to Levi, and he spoke a little bit of Ukrainian, and if some of you know part of my story, I'm adopted from Ukraine, so I just kind of got to hit it off with him in a different way than I think a lot of you guys. And I don't know, right away I just felt a connection with him, and that was just really amazing to see.
One of my favorite stories was from a guy named Pastor Pedro, and he was in charge of the Recovery House of Worship that we went to serve at. That was our first mission site of the whole trip, and it didn't start off too well. We stood outside for like an hour before they answered the door, but it's a different story. he came and he talked to us for a little bit. He got addicted to drugs, and he was out on the street, and he was in a really bad place. And don't really remember like all the details, but somehow he came to open up the Recovery House of Worship, and he had actually been on Rachel Ray, so he showed us that. That was pretty cool. But his story just inspired me because he had come from something that was so bad, but he turned it around, and he created this kitchen to help others who were in the same situation as he was. And so I thought it was just really cool to hear him tell his story.
So when we went on our prayer tour, we did this little immersion activity, and like Joy said earlier, we would talk to this lady, and we asked her just kind of what she thought of homelessness in the city, and it was encouraging to me just how passionate she was about it. Like, we're not the only ones who care about that. There are people in New York and around the country who are trying to do stuff about that, who do care about those people. And something she said, she was talking about a lot of the people in, like, the homeless shelters are women and children, because a lot of times they come from abusive homes and they leave their husbands. They don't have anywhere to go, so they go to the shelters. But when their time runs up, they're only allowed to stay for a certain period of time, they're back on the streets. Well, the woman can't work a lot of the times because she doesn't have anywhere to keep her kids. And so the cycle keeps going on and on, and that kind of hit me really hard. But it was just really encouraging to see that people there do care about it, and that there are places, she's telling us about places around the city who do help the homeless people, and that we can just be praying for them, and especially praying for those women and children who are come from abusive backgrounds and who don't really have anywhere to go, or the woman can't work, and stuff like that.
At the Jewish Soup Kitchen, we got to work in the kitchen, Eli and I did, and there was a volunteer in there, and she was Jewish. Her name was Irit, and she was so sweet. She taught us about her culture so openly, and she asked us, like, what's a Quaker? And so we told her, because Eli, you know, he's very open with that. And so, and there was a point where she kind of looked uncomfortable, but we kind of, like, just went back to what she was talking about, and she just opened right back up, and it was so cool to just see those people who didn't care who we were. We were there to volunteer with her, and she just shared who she was, and I thought that was really cool.
I didn't really get the chance to talk with many people, but mine was the same as Camden's, because it was just really cool to see that story from the Bible that we know from a different perspective.
Mine was the same as Carson's, Pastor Pedro. He was like the guy that was in charge of the place we went, and it was just cool to see how he used his life and what happened to him in his earlier years to help others that are like him.
The lady at the after-school program, she was really passionate about the kids and helping them, and she was really interested about our small community and how like our children were involved in the church, and we told her, like, we have Youth for Christ and Faith Weavers and Sunday school and all these things. And she was just really surprised at how united our community is. And it just made me really thankful to have the chance to, like, grow up in an area like this.
Okay, so we went to an Arabic after school program. And so we were just sitting down, and a girl sat down next to Sierra and I. And so we were helping her with her homework. And she used to live in Yemen, like, a year and a half ago or whatever. And she had just moved to New York. And it was cool to kind of, like, talk to her, and she said she lived in, like, a small village, and so she would just, like, go and, like, talk with her friends, and she could just walk around wherever, so it was kind of cool to, like, relate to her, because we do that in Haviland all the time.
Okay, so at the Jewish kitchen, we had a job. We were sent outside onto the sidewalk, and they had too many boxes to count, and because that's what they got their food in. And our job was to crush the boxes flat and then get this cord, wrap it around it both ways, make sure it was tight. The guy made sure, he said it has to be tight. So we had to make sure it was tight, and then we would stack it on the curb. And it was about this high and probably, I don't know, maybe to Jenna or Nicole from me. And it was a lot of boxes. So while we're out there doing that, and it's about, I don't know, 35 degrees, this one guy just walks along and he kind of sees us doing our work. And he kind of looks, and he starts to crush a box, and then he starts helping us. He starts wrapping up this box, and we're like, thank you. He's like, yeah, no problem. And he does that with us for about 20 minutes. I don't even know who he was, and I don't know if he had anything else that he could be doing, but he just decided that he would stop and help us out, and so we thanked him, and he thanked us, and I guess he found a bag of tortillas, and he told us to rip it up and throw it in this little place, because the birds have to eat too, so in honor of him, we did that, and it kind of felt really wrong to do that in New York, but he really impacted me because he could have been doing something so much better than being out there crushing boxes.
So the Recovery House of Worship was a place for people that were addicted to drugs and alcohol and everything, or really just any addiction, to go and like have breakfast. And so Pastor Pedro had, just like the people that he was serving, had a drug addiction, I think. And like he had been on Rachel Ray, he'd done it all, and he still was kept going back every day and making breakfast for everybody. And that was really cool to see, that he was just loving on everybody, and that even though he had been there and he's like past all that, that he still has a heart for the people that are going through it and is willing to help them.
There was a guy at the recovery house that just told me about his past story, and it was really interesting. And one part that really got to me was he was telling he wished he really respected his parents as a kid, because he always gave him a hard time. And he said in the end he wished he just respected them more.
While we were at the recovery house, I sat down and started talking to this guy, and he told me he'd been in the Navy for 10 years, and then when he got out, he became homeless and started going to the recovery house. And then over time, he found a home and everything, and he just, while he was homeless, he had developed relationships with the people at the recovery house, and while he had to, like, he wasn't homeless anymore, he still came just to spend time with the friends he had made.
The story for me is when, well, one of the activities that we did, our leader, her name was Joelle, she told our groups to go to anywhere and ask a certain person, like a random stranger, what homelessness was. I don't remember the question, actually. Something about homelessness. And so my group went to a hotel and asked the manager up front, I think his name was Tony Falcon, and we asked him, one of the questions was, how could you help the homeless or something? Like, if you could, what would you do? And he just said he would build homes for them, because it breaks his heart to see, like, he works at a hotel and he can't, like, he sees homeless people like out on the streets, and he just wants to help them, but he can't. And so he said if he could help them, he would just build houses for them. And that was just really nice to hear.
Mine is the same as Ben's, because it was really cold outside and we were working, and then this guy just came over and started helping us, and it made the work a lot faster.
Well, Ben stole mine too, so I guess it could be whenever we split off into our groups, like Cambry's story, and we asked people about homelessness. Mostly what I heard was the mayor was a terrible person and they need a new one, but also I heard that people care about homelessness just as much as we do, even in New York City.
So several mentioned the Jewish Soup Kitchen, and I was part of that group, and as they were talking, it just reminded me, while we were there, you heard about the cold and all of that. It was cold. It was very cold. But when we went to the soup kitchen, it was Monday, and Tuesday was the day that they were worried that we were going to just get blasted with snow. And we got snow, not as much as they expected, but it was very cold. Well, they shut so many things down in advance because they were expecting it to be one of those nor'easter storms. And when we were at the Jewish soup kitchen, the guy was telling them, eat as much as you can. There's seconds, those sort of things, because they didn't know if they were going to get a meal the next day. That so many homeless rely on these ministry centers. And there were other ones that stayed open because they lived right there or whatnot, but some of the places did not get their supplies for the food that day or whatnot. And so it's just a really interesting thing that I mean, for the majority of us, and I know there's people in town that this isn't the case, but for most of us, we know where our next meal is going to come from. Or if we're missing something, we can drive to Greensburg or Pratt and go pick that up. Or know, hey, I can go ask somebody and they'd be willing to help me. And so that was just a big eye-opener of these things impact people. And yeah, you have snow, you stay home. But what about those that don't have those resources? So that was a big eye-opener too. So you guys heard a lot of the stories. So again, there were the two different groups, and we went to different ministry sites. We also saw a lot. This is at Central Park. A lot of the places that, you know, you hear about with New York, Times Square, Rockefeller Center, Trump Tower, Madison Square Garden, a lot of other places. And so we got to see a lot, too. Whether or not they recognize it, it was really fun to watch the students just because of the wonder. We get into New York, and we get off the metro, and they're like, oh, this is so big, and then they run into people. But it was just, it happened. But it was just really cool to see that side of it, too, but also, again, their willingness to jump in and serve, and that's powerful for us. And so just as we close this part, I want to give one last chance. If there's any other stories you guys did not get to share that you would like to share, including leaders, if you want to mention anything of what was impacting or a highlight for you, and then we'll be done. So I can pass the mic, or is there anybody that wants to share?
One thing that we talked to this guy at a supermarket. I can't remember what it was called, but it was for this little game where we were trying to find fair trade items. And we talked to this guy, and he was just really friendly. And he actually said that he had friends from Kansas. And it was just really interesting to, like, just communicate with someone really well from there. And, like, because there wasn't a whole lot of people that would. Most people would walk around with their headphones on, but just to know that there was still people that did care.
Well, what was really cool for me is I'm an observer, and so when we crossed over the bridge into Manhattan, I felt like I was going to pass out because I was looking at all these buildings thinking, how did they make that? My mind was reeling, and I finally got to the point where I was not distracted by the buildings anymore, and I was able to be more interactive with the people.
Okay, so one of our tasks was to go out into the street and ask people about homelessness. So we asked a police officer, and then it didn't take very long, so we went to go ask some more people, and we were walking down the road, and we saw these two guys, and they were shoveling snow, and they were just street workers. And so we asked them about homelessness and, like, how they thought it affected New York and what they can do about it. And one of the guys that answered told us that he had just recently come out of homelessness, and he said he had been homeless since he was a little kid. So we started asking him questions about it, and he said that if you go and you talk to a homeless person, they kind of shut you out. And when you go to, like, soup kitchens, there's a lot of people who don't want to go because they think that it's, like, embarrassing, and they think that it kills their self-esteem. And so they're actually embarrassed to go and do that, which kind of shocked me because, I mean, if you want help, like, go. But he kept talking to us, and then his friend was like, did you guys know that there's a city under New York? And so we were all thinking, like, yeah, the subway. But so we were just, like, talking to him about it, and he's like, no, actually, if you go into the subway, there's, like, on the tracks, there's, like, these trap doors underneath, and then sometimes on the back wall there's these doors. He said that those lead to the sewer, and there's actually, that's where a lot of the homeless people live because it's warm, and it's just, I don't know, it must be nice, I don't know. But he said that they only come up to beg for food, and so he said that most people would actually rather live under there and come up and just beg and get free stuff instead of actually working to have a living. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
One of the cool things about the whole trip was how protective we were of each other, because it's a big city and we've never interacted with people like that. And, like, they told us before, like, don't make eye contact with certain people, don't wave, don't smile, it's not Hamlin, you know. But it was really cool.
Like, the boys in our group, Caleb was always at the back, making sure everyone was safe, making sure everyone was getting where they were needing to go. And one time I was on the subway, and I sat down, and then somebody sat right next to me, and Ben said, "You want to switch spots?" And so I went to go switch, but they slid down, and I got kind of surrounded by a group of guys, and Ben was, like, clutching the handle, and he was, like, looked like he was ready to fight somebody if it needed to happen. And Kale was really protective of all the girls, just making sure everyone was safe, and so that was just really cool to see how protective we were of each other.
For me, it was a great trip for me to experience. I've been to New York before, but to go with this group, how impacted that they were in me and just how they were, sometimes it's not easy to step out of your comfort zone, but they were willing to do that and go up to people that they had no idea and who they, and just to talk to them and share Christ with them and just willing to do whatever they needed to do to help with that ministry, help around the place that we stayed, and just, it was just a great impact for me and a great time to get to know these students better. So it was a great ministry for all of us, I think.
You can beat this, Mia. Sit down. Good job.
The awkward closing.
Well, there's a part of Haviland Friends that not all of you get to see. On every Sunday, we print out a worship gathering. It's just we want to be open to the Spirit's leading, but sometimes we believe that He can lead us as we prepare ahead of time to have a service, and so the folks who are up here know when to do this, and Jared and I get reminders that say, hey, don't forget to dismiss the kids now, or this is a time when it, and here it says the sending time and that's also the benediction. But I think that's important for us as a community of faith, as we keep reminding ourselves that we are and historically have been a sending church. We sent 20-some young people to New York with four sponsors. And by the way, it really wasn't that cold. I'm from northwestern South Dakota. I could think, and it really wasn't that bad. So, but I didn't step in any water like some of them did, because Ben was always looking up. That was Ben. I mean, if you ever say, hey, look up on the bright side, that was Ben, because Ben's looking up, and all of a sudden, like, Ben! And splash. And so when your feet are wet, they're cold. But it was a great trip. I actually enjoyed the van rides, listening to some of your kids tell some of their stories and not always knowing that I was listening. Kind of creepy. But it was good to get to know the kids, spend time with the young people. Also, the sponsors did a fantastic job. And I had very low expectations. I just wanted to bring them all home safe. So after that, it was a blessing. Everything above that, once we got them home safe, everything else was a blessing. So I was thankful to get be part of that trip. And it's nice when we send people and they come back. And as a church, we don't always get to do that. We send them sometimes, and they stay away for decades serving God. And so it's exciting for our kids to be part of that. The other highlight that I'm obligated to say, since I'm a Dodgers fan, in one of the slides, there was a giant building of apartments, and at the very bottom, if you read closely, it said Ebbets Field, and that's all that's left of where the Dodgers play, is a giant high-rise apartment building in Brooklyn, where the Brooklyn Dodgers used to play, but it's the apartments at Ebbets Field. So it was good. The guy who gave us our tour was a Brooklyn native and a very articulate man, a very handsome man. All the girls, I know, when he walked into the room, it was like the air went out of the room and all the girls went, they'll admit it later. So, but he was a Brooklyn native. He did a great job of leading us on our. It was a prayer tour, but also was very insightful. And though I may not have seen the world exactly as he sees it, and some of our guys, we processed that later. It was good to see Brooklyn from his eyes and the hurt that he has, but also the hope that he has for that community. Brooklyn, if it separated from New York, currently would be the fourth largest city in the country, just Brooklyn alone. And they say within about 15 years it may be the third largest city in the country. And that's just Brooklyn as one of the boroughs in New York. It's just a mass of humanity. And our group only, the group I was with, only got out of Brooklyn once. I think that last day is when we went to Manhattan. And so we were just in Brooklyn the whole time at different areas of service. So I want to, on behalf of the young people of our church and their parents, some of you helped this group financially. Many of you prayed for this group, and thank you for doing that. We needed it. So thank you for that. Thank you for your support, for your prayers. Thank you for the way you've supported the youth in our church throughout the years, through youth pastors and staffing. Just thank you for that. As a pastor, I don't take that for granted. And a lot of what makes Haviland Friends Church great is the fact that we've had a great youth program for decades. And then those young people grow up to sometimes come home. We don't always send them away forever. And they sometimes come home, and then they're leaders here. So thank you for your participation in the youth of our church, and especially this event. You have a few minutes before it's even noon, so you don't have to run off. So I'm going to pray and dismiss you to continue worshiping the Lord this week, and hug some people on your way out, shake some hands, smile at some folks, and let them know that you are glad that you got to spend some time with them today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for young people who got to see a part of our country and really a different part of the world. And God, we pray that that which they learned will continue to impact their lives and impact the lives of their friends through their experience. And God, we thank you for the fact that you were in New York before we ever got there. And you're still in New York, but you're also right here in Haviland. And there are those among us who walk among us that need encouragement, that need a cool glass of water in your name, and then maybe even need better housing or food. And God, help us not to forget those who walk among us that need the love of Christ. God, continue to help us to see how we might serve you this week. Bless these folks as they go. May they run into you where they're looking for you, but also where they're not, and realize that it's you and that you love them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.